Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and welcome to the program. This week, I'm joined by author, activist, and barkeep, Sam Moffey. Sam, welcome.
Thanks, Simon. It's a pleasure to be here, especially since the Browns jumped up to in the Battle of Ohio, which would have put them back on the relevance factor in the NFL football, jumped up to a 13-0 lead, only to have the Cincinnati Bengals outscore them like 38-7 since then, and goodbye season.
Right.
Glad to hear to talk about what we're going to do.
Actually, my stepson this morning asked me if I was going to be watching the Chargers today, and I said, "Who? What time? And who are they playing?" And he said, "I don't know." He's not a Chargers fan. What can I say? Also on the line, my good friend Bill Conrad. Bill, great to have you on the program.
Hi, Simon. It's great to be here. The afternoon almost got out of my control, and I'm here anyway, so I'm excited to learn some new ideas.
Oh, Lord. Sam, he's putting his brain in our hands.
In regards to?
Go ahead, Simon. Start it off.
Yeah. And normally we talk about current affairs, but today we're headed into the history books. November 22nd marks a very dark day in history. The assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy in Dallas. Much has been written about the events of that day, and while I'm by no means obsessed with the subject, I am interested, and I've probably read more books and seen more videos on the subject than I should. My absolute favorite book, by the way, is one by Larry Hancock, Someone Would Have Talked, which, if you really want a serious discussion on it, it's on the Lancer imprint, and if you're a JFK aficionado, you'll probably get the inside joke, on the name of the imprint. Sam, you were, 5 years old when...
3 years old.
3 years old.
Yep.
So you remember it like it was yesterday.
I was amazed that last week this became, with all the stuff surviving Obamacare, here come the Kennedys again to save Obama, not help Obama. They Carolyn Kennedy helped them in 08, Ted Kennedy helped them, and now here comes Jack, the ghost of Camelot, rises up 2 weeks before the 50th anniversary of his assassination. And that's everyone talking about the myth of Camelot. I mean, there's a picture on the front page of Youngstown's Indicator, not to be confused with anybody's high school newspaper, but that's our leading newspaper here. They have a picture of Kennedy campaigning in, I guess, 1960, in the general election. And the headlines are, Jack Kennedy, 50 years ago, 50 years later, still has charisma. I'm like, that's the headline of the paper today? 50 years later, still has charisma. I don't know. They pick him up to talk to him. I mean, but I guess he does. He still has the myth of, it's that myth of Camelot and then the Kennedys. And it's and I think the American people have been sold a huge bill of goods by that family, the PR machine, the mythmakers, especially the guy who wrote that. Who was the historian who wrote the book about Camelot and gave the name Camelot, Simon?
I can't remember, but I'm sure I've read it.
Camelot, right?
Yeah.
He called it Camelot. I think was it Theodore White? A great writer, a great, you know, chronicler of presidencies and whatnot. You know, that was a Camelot. Everyone forgets to, you know, I do not knowing a lot about movies and plays. That was the big play on Broadway that year with Richard Edwards Camelot. You know, they almost gave it like he is King Arthur. And she is, you know, and everybody who was on, the best and the brightest, you know, all the people, where they were all like the knights of, you know, Sir Galahad and all that, knights of the round table, the people that he brought into his cabinet and this and that. But, you know, you look at the shine on it, and it's fabulous. And this guy, you know, and that's all they talk about is the celebrityness of Jack Kennedy, his wife, and the people around them, and this and that, and of course the tragic assassination. But what's really funny, if you ever study Kennedy and what he stood for as a senator, he stood for nothing, but when he was president, his Senate career was worse than Barack Obama's, I think. I don't think he did anything, except he was constantly campaigning. But when he became president, and you listen to his, not the, you know, Berlin speech, the famous, but as to what he stood for, politics, he'd be considered a Republican nowadays. And go ahead.
I want to come back to that point. But, Bill, you're a young kid on the block here. What do you make of the Kennedy assassination?
I think it really all was tied into the Cuban Missile Crisis. It seems like an awful lot of people were controlling our government that weren't necessarily competent, and I think the people who had ties into other parts of the government through other illegal dealings were so involved in that. I'm not sure who really pulled the trigger or who ordered it, but I kind of feel like it was a whole machine behind the trying to correct perceptions, his promiscuous activity that they had a problem with, his relationship with Lyndon B. Johnson, and other issues with that sounded like he was having a homosexual affair with Lyndon B. Johnson. I'm sorry, didn't mean to put it that way. but I think the CIA and probably some organized crime figures were involved in doing that. But
Bill, I don't know about the other ones, but if the organized crime didn't put a hit on them, nobody did. But you have to study the sins of the fire. It's a Greek tragedy played out by Irishmen, Boston Irishmen. Jack Kennedy is one of the most despicable people. Excuse me, not Jack, I apologize. Joe Kennedy is probably one of the most despicable people ever to make a lot of money in this world and wield power with it. He was terrible. He was a terrible father. I'll give a great example about when Joe Kennedy bought RKO Studios back in the 20s, he had an affair with the actress Gloria Swanson. Gloria Swanson's famous role is in one of the greatest movies in the 50s called Sunset Boulevard. You guys remember that movie?
Yeah.
She's the aging, she was great as a silent actress, couldn't make the jump to the talkies, and is living in her past and all that. And William Holden's in it. Billy Wilder did it. It's listening audience, watch it. Great movie. Anyway, Gloria Swanson was a top silent screen actress in the 20s for RKO Studios. Joe Kennedy was having a major affair with her. He would bring her back to Boston to hang with his family for dinner, and Rose Kennedy had a serve. Because she liked the 11 kids, they had like 11 kids or whatnot. They sat around the table, and he'd bring his girlfriend home to the dinner table and rub his white face in it. and his wife couldn't do anything about it because Joe had all the money. Joe was one of the first financiers for the mafia. A lot of people don't know that. He had a bank in Boston, and he was made a fortune financing bootlegging and prohibition. Allowed him to buy RKO Studios. He also today, the Kennedys still to this day get a piece of every bottle of Seagram's that's sold in the United States. Their fortune starts and begins with bootlegging, and in the 20s. And Joe Kennedy was one of the financiers behind it. What else did he do with all of that? He then takes over MCA, which is Music Corporation of America, was another front for the mafia, also known as the Outfit of Chicago. That's where the Capone syndicate comes from. MCA they were the first ones to break people's arms if they didn't put jukeboxes that they owned in their bars or restaurants or whatnot. And then when Joe Kennedy bought RKO Studios, MCA came in with him, and they organized all the labor unions and used to shake down Hollywood like there was no tomorrow. Kennedy was so bad, the other studio heads begged Howard Hughes to buy him out, and Hughes did buy him out of RKO. And then Joe Kennedy went back to got into politics at that point. And in politics, he became Roosevelt's ambassador to Great Britain in the late 30s when Hitler was rising in Germany. And Joe Kennedy thought Adolf Hitler was one of the greatest people of all time. A lot of people don't know that. He was so bad, so pro-Nazi, that Winston Churchill demanded that Kennedy had to be fired by Roosevelt. He was, and Kennedy at one point gave great thought to running against Roosevelt in the primaries, but was talked out of it by his friends in the mob, because they wanted him somewhere else. So Roosevelt, this is a great one. Roosevelt, one of Franklin Roosevelt's greatest quotes is, when they made up a Security and Exchange Commission, they asked, who are you going to appoint, Mr. President? He goes, there's only one person head of this group. And they go, who's that? They go, Joe Kennedy. And his advisors go, he's a crook. And he goes, who bets to watch the bigger crooks? And a crook who knows what they're doing. That's a direct quote from Roosevelt. So Joe Kennedy, then it all became about, because he couldn't be president, but he had all the money and all the connections. His oldest son got killed tragically in World War II, trying to fly a plane packed dynamite. It was one of the first guided missile type things. He was experimental. He got killed. But at that time during the late wars, he had his daughter named Rose. I believe it was Rosemary. Rosemary was born mentally retarded. Joe Kennedy crazy that he couldn't take her out anywhere or this or that. He had her lobotomized and shoved in an institution somewhere in Wisconsin. Okay, and she died about 10 years ago. And the Kennedys, because of their collective guilt, started the what? The Kennedy Special Olympics. Remember that?
Yes.
Financed by the Kennedy. Not because they felt good. It was because he was guilty about what he did. But here they would come out and show America how wonderful and great they were helping the Special Olympics, doing all this work for the Special Olympics. Good for them. But they would never bring their own relative, who was mentally retarded, out of an asylum, who the father had lobotomized because he couldn't stand the fact that he had a defective kid. And then what happens is Joe then Jack becomes the savior. And Jack never, there was always going to be the older brother. I forget his name. What was Joe Kennedy Jr.? And he was groomed to be president from the time he was a little boy. But then Jack takes the mantle. Jack ends up, they end up, at this point, Vegas in the 50s is starting to become a bad place to be. Howard Hughes is buying up everything. The Mormons are there. There's no real money there anymore for the mobs. So they go to Cuba, where they have these incredible casinos. When my dad was back, he got called back up again during in the 50s, during Korea, after serving in World War II. They had to go to Guantanamo to train. And they also, then they'd go to Cuba in the late mid-50s to the one that had the days off to go gamble. He couldn't believe. I mean, it was the casinos, the beachfront, it was incredible. And it was all owned by, that's what the mafia was setting up their, Vegas South, because they thought Vegas was passe, Jesus was going to destroy it with his, with his craziness and the Mormons there. No one was going there anymore. And they really thought, everybody was going to Vegas to gamble. And so some guy by the name, with a smoked cigars and had thick glasses named Fidel Castro, kicked them out and asked them off to casinos. So now you see the plot thickens, right?
Right.
So what happens when Joe Kennedy runs, when Jack runs? That election was razor thin between Richard Milhouse Nixon and John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And he won Illinois because he carried Chicago by very slim margin. The mafia delivered Illinois, and therefore they wanted to be paid back with they got the president, and they wanted to. Therefore, you have that becomes, as you brought up, Bill, the Cuban Missile Crisis, that became a get Castro out and go back to the good old days of Cuba. And all that money was nationalized. I mean, Meyer Lansky's hotel, I forget what it was called. I mean, Lansky was broke because all his money was tied in that. The FBI was finally admitting there was a mafia and going after them in the 50s. And, that going on. And so all that's happening. Kennedy's going after Cuba. The mafia's happy. And don't forget, least we forget, John Fitzgerald Kennedy shared a mistress with the head of the guy who took over for the outfit from Frank Nitti, who took over for Capone. His name was Sam Giancana. He shared a girlfriend by the name of Judith Alexa Campbell, whose husband was a somewhat decent movie star, not that great, not that bad, but she was a mistress to all three of them. So you had her going back and forth and this and that. Anyway, make a long story short, they forgot one thing. They didn't never realize Joe Kennedy would have a stroke and not be able to stop his son, Robert Kennedy, from going after Jimmy Hoffa. And Hoffa and the Teamsters had funded a lot of things that the mafia had done over the years. And, helped provide cover for them and did a lot of stuff for them. And therefore it came time, and Jack was so busy with doing other things, Bobby Kennedy was sticking it to Jimmy Hoffa. And that was one of their mafias that was a no-no. So I think they came, and when he couldn't deliver Cuba, and he couldn't deliver, they were going after Hoffa, I think you had a recipe for a disaster, and they took out Jack, with the aiding and abetting of a lot of other big players. My take.
Okay. I've heard all of these stories, what concerns me is what happened in Dealey Plaza. Was it a plan, or was it the crazy guy, with a not very accurate rifle that pulled it off?
No way. Impossible to shoot a single barrel. I mean, they've all said that they could. And you can't believe, I don't believe the Warren Commission. I mean, who believes anything of Washington? That was a cover-up of the cover-up, right, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think they could have. Oswald and Ruby were the patsies. So all got to be bad. I mean, when it comes to this Kennedy thing, I'm with Oliver Stone and Jim Garrison. It's just too many coincidences. And then how about all the people mysteriously dying associated with it? How about the hobos who weren't hobos? I believe one was E. Howie Hunt, the Watergate fame. How about the guy with the umbrella on a beautiful sunny day? I mean, everyone does that. There's too many questions, not enough answers, and we're never going to have them, and the government's going to let people speculate this from now till doomsday, because they're never going to let us have the truth. Why would they? I don't think they know what the truth is. Why would Giancarlo murdered before he was supposed to testify No one had ever gotten close to Sam Giancana for 30 years. He retired, and all of a sudden, mysteriously, he's supposed to go in front of Frank Church, if you remember, was going to have reopened up the investigations in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Right, Simon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, selected, and Giancana was being called to testify. Oh, and he's murdered in the basement of his home by a guy trying to break in. Sure, every two-bit thug, a housebreaker had Sam Giancana's house. They know where to go to, right? The ex-head of the outfit is someone's house you want to go break into. I want to go break into John Gotti's house, right?
Yeah.
I want to go break into Al Capone's house. I want to go break into Don Corleone's house. No, come on.
It's easy to get lured into the conspiracy theories. And Lord knows that there are enough of them. But from what I have read, that there wasn't really any love lost between JFK and Lyndon Johnson. Everything seems to say that, Lyndon Johnson had absolutely zero power. The real VP was Robert Kennedy. Any thoughts on that aspect, Sam?
I've heard all that stuff, and there's a great book I read called Executive Action, which is a fictional account of right-wingers conspiring with Lyndon Johnson to take over, and they were the ones behind us. I don't believe that and this and that. Kennedy was a friend of government, of big business. And you look at, like I said, look at what his policies were. He cut tax rates, corporate tax rates, individual tax rates. I mean, he was a supply sider. And also he was for the military-industrial complex. He escalated Vietnam. He almost took it to the brink of World War III. I mean, this guy was not, he was not kind of, everyone, the Kennedy myth lovers, oh, he would have ended the war in Vietnam. No, he wouldn't have. He was a big believer in the domino theory. He fought in World War II. He knew what that was all about. And he's a war hero, by the way, and what he did. And he was no dummy. He went to Harvard and did all that sort of stuff. And, he studied. He wrote a very good book. Profiles in Courage and things of that nature. And I wasn't a great senator, but for some reason, he's one of those guys. He was a great executive when it came to government policy. He was freaking out because of the civil rights movement. That was the one thing he came late to. I mean, there was so much going on in his little 3 years of presidency. World War, nuclear war, threat of nuclear war, his brother's war on the mafia, Jimmy Hoffa, the rise of the civil rights movement. I mean, there was a lot going on, and the economy was not that great. And he was, doing all that. And so I can't see that happening. And, I understand a lot. Listen, I'm no fan of Lyndon Johnson. Okay, but they probably didn't get along. But what I can't understand is if they hated each other that much. Okay, if they hated each other that much, why did Johnson take that job as vice president? Now, some people say so you could kill Kennedy and become president. I don't buy that. I think with assassinate all lone crazy people, shot William McKinley. Was a Looney Tune. He was a disgruntled job seeker. And was pissed, he didn't get an interview in Washington, D.C., followed him to Buffalo, and shot him, because in those days, the president, would have to go out to the crowds and shake hands with people. There was no screening, though. But Lincoln's murder was a conspiracy of a huge degree. There were a lot of people involved, and it was a huge conspiracy to kill more than Abe Lincoln. And all that stuff. But in order to kill the president in 1960, one lone, goofy guy, and that whole Oswald is one, when you read about him, Simon, I'm sure you have, it's just, how did this guy pull this off? And it's impossible. without the help. You know, I think he was just a guy. Did he shoot at Kennedy? Yeah, I think he did. But he was the, he was the patsy. He was the patsy, you know. I mean, it was set up to be the patsy, and he won, you know, and all that. And you could not have done, you know, in order to be killed like that, you know, as he was killed, to get through all that security, to do all that, to take his head off and not kill anybody else. I mean, how many? Conley got hurt only because the bullet went through Kennedy into his wrist, right?
Well, you're talking about the magic bullet.
The magic bullet, right. Because Conley was hit in the wrist, you know, twice, I think, right? The bullet that hit Kennedy and then magically hit through John Conley's wrist and into his thigh or something. He was
right.
And by the way, Conley was a best friend of Lyndon Johnson. If Johnson's going to kill Kennedy, isn't he going to make sure Conley's kind of sick that day and not there? You know, he was a protege of Johnson's. I mean, if I'm the Rasputin of Washington, I'm not going to have my guy sit next to the guy who I'm going to blow his head off. What if they miss?
Right.
You know, so that one. You know, and look, I mean. Mrs. Kennedy was right next to him too, and that these guys had to be crack shots, and I just can't buy the fact that Oswald could do that from the 14th story, bang, bang, bang. I mean, if he was that great of a shot, how'd the United States military let him go?
The thing is, he wasn't that great of a shot, and you know the weapon he was using wasn't really a great sniper weapon even back then. You know, I mean, none of it makes a lick of sense. Yeah, it was a bolt action, but there's, you know, no way that, you know, he could get those three shots off in the time allotted. You know, I mean, well, I guess it's possible, yeah. But, you know, he wasn't that great a shooter. I mean, yeah, it doesn't make a lick of sense. Bill, you've been very quiet. I'd like you to chirp in.
Well, one of the things... Sorry, I dropped my headphone. One of the things that I always felt that the assassination was related to has always been to Cuba. And the question is, you know, how are we going to connect the dots? My feeling is when Batista sneaked out of the country... with all his ties to the mob in Cuba, that things went horribly wrong for a great plan to keep everyone well-funded. It seems to me that all these kind of conspiracies and assassinations and everything are always tied to big money. And I think that too many things spiraled out of control. And it's all tied back to that. The whole political system went to, you know, communism, and everyone freaked out. And it was like, well, who's going to have to take the fall, and who are we going to take out Kennedy? Because of all the ties that were involved there between him and organized crime, needed to correct a great error and the loss of the income off of Havana. Just that's my gut. But the question is how did they do it and how did it get done? I'm still kind of clueless on that.
Those are good questions. Is Sam, any theories?
I told you. I think, you know, as Bill said, I think it all goes to Cuba. I think everything can be tied into Cuba. Very similar to, and if you look at the great movie, The Godfather 2, when Michael Court comes in, they're all sitting around the table. First of all, they meet with Batista, and he's passing around a gold phone. And everyone's at the table. It's AT&T, it's this and that, except for the two mafia guys right there. And then it cuts to a better scene, a little bit later than that, is Hyman Roth is having a birthday party. And the party is, and they bring him a birthday cake shaped up like Cuba. And I love that part, because that's what was going on. And when he says, look, what more could we want? A government that we, a government that we control. Michael was bigger than U.S. Steel, right? That's what they had there. They had it because they had no taxes. They won't be, because in the 50s, everyone forgets the Kefauver hearings started happening. So after Bonnie, remember, what's his face? The cross-dresser, Hoover. Hoover was obsessed with going after communists. Hoover was obsessed with going after Hollywood. Hoover was obsessed with going after Bonnie and Clyde, John Dillinger, and all those guys. Meanwhile, the mafia was huge. Organized crime was the game. That's all the money was. But after World War II, and they start and the Red Square, and they destroyed a bunch of people's lives in Hollywood with everyone pointing a finger at each other, saying they were communists. All that dried up. There was no bad guys. They finally went after the mafia in the mid-50s. By the way, who was on? What Kennedy sat on? Joe McCarthy was a lawyer for Joe McCarthy.
I have to change the subject just for 10 seconds. My wife rules the TV, and right now, a movie is about to start. Godzilla versus Spacezilla. My God. Unfortunately, I don't have the ability to record it.
What channel is it on?
Oh, I have no clue.
Who cares?
she doesn't let me access the remote control. But... Uh-oh, she's back in the room. Oh, I'd better stop discussing this. okay, let's get back to more serious things. There is no doubt that, JFK died. Yeah. Well, except for a couple of authors. Yeah. There was one classic book I read that claimed the whole thing was a setup. It was body doubles, and JFK wasn't in the car. He was en route to Moscow. But I'll ignore that. it really did seem stupid. Let's talk about what happened afterwards and the Warren Commission. My thumbnail sketch, they just needed to put the story to rest, that they really had no interest in stirring the pot, and most certainly, that they left a lot of questions unanswered. Would you agree with that, Sam?
Yes.
Good Lord, that's the shortest answer you've given to any question I have ever asked you.
No, I think the Warren Commission was a what you call it,
a shame.
What I'm looking for. A scam, yeah. And to rubber stamp, you know. I mean, they set it up to make it look like, and they were set up to make it look like, hey, this guy did it, and they didn't answer any of the questions that people wanted, and that was it. And I thought the people were shell shocked too, and that was it. And then it took, I think, 20 years with all the books that came out, the questions, lots of things. It took Frank Church's Select Senate Subcommittee to start asking questions again. And got some people really starting to piece a lot of things together. Then there was this mafia guy, Jimmy, Blue Eyes, the Weasel. A bunch of these mafia guys went in the protection programs. And I think they told some stuff that was going on. So a lot more information came looser. And get out there. And I totally agree with Bill. And you, it all comes down to money. And the mafia had lost a lot of money. They put a lot of money into the election of JFK. And after all, his father was one of theirs, as I pointed out. And they delivered the goods. Remember, they delivered them. They delivered him the presidency. And then what happened? Bobby Kennedy becomes. He goes after that. That's the question. That's the kid. Bobby Kennedy was a red baiter. He works for Joe McCarthy. His partner in crime was the great Roy Kahn. Roy Kahn and Bobby Kennedy were the staffers on Joe McCarthy's witch hunts to get after people who were alleged communists. And I think Bobby Kennedy felt very guilty about that, serving to do that. And it's one reason why he tried to pay being a human with faults and all that stuff and guilt, decided to go up to Jimmy Hoffa. And that was, that was his own way of redeeming himself as an ethical and principled guy. And I think as Bobby Kennedy got older and also the sins of what he did with working with Roy Kahn and Joe McCarthy, and of course, his own brother getting killed, and why he got killed, because I think Bobby knew, turned him into the crusader, reformer type guy that would have been a great president, would have been a better president than his brother. Unfortunately, I don't think there was a conspiracy to kill him. That was a lone crazed gunman. So that does happen. But I think Jax is just a totally, Lincoln was the victim of the Civil War, and Jack was the victim of him not being able to, the war, the communist. Jack was a victim of not being able to deliver Cuba to the mafia. And do I think Castro had something to do with it? I mean, no, because Castro was the CIA trying to kill him with what? Poison underwear, poison cigars, poison this, poison that. Think about it. So when people say the CIA was involved in killing Jack Kennedy, I don't believe that. They were too busy trying to find out what acid did to our soldiers and trying to kill people with stupid ideas. And if you saw that movie Argo from last year, which was fabulous, I mean, I think you realize the CIA is a fucked up place. And because you got these most of them are Yale graduates who everything works and everything's been handed to them on a silver platter from generation to generation to generation. They're in that skull and crossbones thing, and they're recruited because they went to Yale and they're Yale men to be in the CIA, and none of these people know anything. It's about how to count their money, and that's what the CIA is constantly failing. It has been failing for years. Poison cigars. I mean, come on. I really think it comes down to the mafia wanted payback. I don't think Jack Kennedy would have been killed if his father wouldn't have had a stroke. I think he would have worked the deal out. You know what I mean? But they couldn't. They were pissed. And who knows what. What Judith, and I think she's a very, very, very important part of this, a good player, being the mistress of Jack Kennedy and Momo Giancarlo, that was Sam Giancarlo's nickname, Momo, who knows if she picked up from both the parties, people in both of them. I'm sure there was more than pillow talk going on there. There was a lot more, after the sex romps, there was pillow talk going on. You know, look, people say, I mean, you want to throw this in, Simon? Look, for the whole thing. I mean, Marilyn Monroe was sleeping with both Kennedys. Look what they did to her.
Right. But let's go back to the Warren Commission. I don't know if you've ever read the report. Unfortunately, I have. It's stupid. It's weak-kneed at the very best. I mean, this wasn't an investigation. This was a, okay, we need to write some stuff and basically, you know, get a, you know, get out of jail free card. You know, that's the way I view the Warren Commission. Would you disagree with that idea, Sam?
No, I agree with you. You know, I think that they, it's a rubber stamp. I mean, you know, we see it all the time. That, you know, that's why I don't think you see many commissions anymore. All these great commissions that have been done, the Warren Commission, what was the other one, Simpson Bowles, all these other commissions are worthless. No, they don't stand for anything except to rubber stamp, as you said, what the what they want the outcome to be.
Right.
I mean, who would have been a better person? There's no way the American people would have, if they would have came, what would you think would have happened when the Warren Commission come out? A couple years later, 1965?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you really think Lyndon Baines Johnson? Let's say he has not. Even if he has nothing to do with the murder, let's give LBJ a pass. Okay. Okay. They come to him with the truth. They say, Mr. President, the mafia, the CIA bungled this. The FBI bungled this. The mob killed Kennedy because here's our reasons. ABC. He'll throw his text. You know, he would have went shit. I can't let the truth come up. The American people will stop funding my Civil Rights Movement Act, my war in Vietnam, my this, my that, and this. And we can't let the truth get out. Let's bury it. And that's what they did. There's no way they're going to let the government. That's like admitting that area that there really was a spaceship that crashed in Roswell in the 50s. Did it happen? I think it did. But they're not going to admit it. And you never hear the government say anything. When people talk about Area 51, the government doesn't say anything. People say that you have the Kennedy assassination, you never get an official reaction. You get no reaction. To me, that's an official reaction.
Let's face it. It took until just a few years ago that the government even acknowledged that, you know, a place called Area 51 exists.
Right. I mean, it does exist. And there are signs up there. If you get near there, they will shoot you on sight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and look, I wrote a book about, called To Kill the Duke. If anybody's interested, it's a story about Joe Stalin wanted to assassinate John Wayne. That's a true story. Really happened when the Kremlin declassified their records. And he got his wish in a different way. It wasn't someone shooting the Duke in the head, but John Wayne died of cancer because they filmed movies in this vast nuclear test ground where the United States dropped tons and tons of nuclear bombs to show the Russians that they were big, that we were bigger and better than they were, not caring about what happened to this thing called fallout. We didn't care. The Russians thought we were crazy. They dropped they did their testing underground in Siberia or someplace where the fallout wouldn't get their own people. Hell, we're exposing our people day and night. That's how we're willing to go, Russia.
Right.
People had no idea. Many people died from the fallout and got sick from radiation in the 50s from all that stuff.
Right. Incidentally, on your book, I read it, and of course, you know, I'm one of those nasty people that just has to go poking around. I mean, the test site was what, like 100 miles from Vegas?
Right.
Right. And the hotels and casinos, they'd get wind that, you know, a blast was going to happen, and, you know, they'd offer their guests free bus rides to the site so they could watch it.
Watch the flash.
Watch the flash. Right. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's how crazy, you know, that's how crazy things are. That's how our country is. So, I mean, if you really think about it, I did my college thesis paper on Chicago 68. And even now, let's see, I graduated college in 1982. Okay, so there was a lot less available to me to get, but there still was a lot. And it came down to our government, the FBI and CIA, actually had more undercover hippies, quote-unquote, in Chicago causing the problem than there were actual hippies there. There were actually more law enforcement acting undercover than there were actual hippies there, and trying to stir up trouble, to get them into trouble. I mean, if you really want to trust this government, what would be Operation Mongoose? Let's take a couple soldiers on leaves, feed them LSD, and film them and see what they do. Well, these guys are jumping out of windows and killing themselves. Whoops, that's a bad idea.
Right. Well, no, they never said... They never said that it was a bad idea. They just said it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Right. So how do you trust? So it comes back to Simon. Why would you trust anything that comes out of a tragedy? About the government. I'm one of the people who tend to believe in all the conspiracies, like the too big to fail. At least they finally admit that. You know, and at least they came out and said it, as opposed to just doing it and not telling us why they did it. They, you know, now they just come out and do it because, you know, there's no accountability. There's no accountability. But the Warren Commission is a rubber stamp. How many other things have been done? The Love Canal, all the pollutions, all of this and that, just ignored and go away, and, you know, we're the government. You have to believe us. We wouldn't lie to you. That's all you guys do is lie to us. But we believe it. The biggest suckers in the world are the American people, whether it's about the assassination of John F. Kennedy, whether it's Obamacare. I mean, how about the lies this guy said since about in the last week about Obamacare? On and on.
Oh, and Sam, you're not going to bring up Obamacare? You're in that.
I mean, boy, if I was him, I would definitely not want my name attached to this this speaker.
I mean, it was such a wonderful idea. Yeah, but unfortunately, they couldn't find anyone that could... I actually put together a simplistic web page. Oh, hell. they should have gone to GoDaddy.
They're still working on it. Yeah. Hey, we fumbled the ball. Wasn't that a great line? My favorite is... My favorite thing was, okay, everybody, Obamacare is the law of the land. The Supreme Court ruled on it. Okay, I agree. So what happened? What did he do last week? He said, fuck the Supreme Court. The stuff that the government that they said was legal, I'm going to make an executive order and change it. Oh, wait a minute, then it's not the law of the land. How can you arbitrarily do that? This guy getting away with this guy... You talk about the Teflon president? Oh, jeez. Never accountable for anything he does, good or bad. Only good things that happen, and I can't count that many good things that have happened under him. Stock market is going through the roof. He's a better Republican president than George Bush.
Absolutely. But, you know, the whole Obamacare thing, it just makes me want to roll my eyes. I don't class myself as a website expert. I'm certainly not. You know, I can cobble together a simple thing. But I'm being told that, you know, that this Obamacare site has 5 million lines of code. And they're written by, various different companies. This is bullshit. You know, why does the website even exist? Someone tell me, how this is going to make life better for the average American. Sam, are you, getting benefits from Obamacare?
No, our price, actually, we've been dealing, I did enroll and get it done one day, as we've talked about many times in the past. So I did enroll. It's been, when we see December 1st, it'll be 2 months, 1 month. 2 months. Honestly, I can't remember what it is. I'm still waiting for my state exchange to get back to me with my gold medal option, my silver medal option, or my bronze medal option. Gee, I wonder where they got those terms from. Meanwhile, we've had, my wife has been negotiating off and on with Anthem. Every time Obama changes it, they call us up with a new plan, and we finally have settled on a plan for right now that is subject to change based upon what happens with Obamacare from now until whatever. And so we actually have a plan that's very similar to what we have now and a little bit more expensive. But I'm not happy with it at all. I did not expect to get anything for free. I did not expect to get anything. I don't mind helping out those less fortunate that need to get some health insurance and paying a little bit more for it. But I did expect my coverage to get better. All my wife and I have is catastrophic. We don't have dental. We don't have vision. We really pay a lot of money in case of a month for catastrophic, and that's it. But I want to bring up a side point here. My brother-in-law, my wife's, my second wife, so still my brother-in-law, he lived in Holland, very wealthy man, paid boohoo amounts of taxes his whole life. He just died last week. And he got really sick real suddenly, had never been really sick, and they, of course, expected he had paid into the deduct system for years. Expected first-class health care, because he also got supplemental health care on top of that. Well, because the Dutch have opened up, given health care to everybody, they have a ton of Turks, a ton of Muslims living in their country. Their welfare system is worse than ours, because they're all getting free health care and whatnot. He was stuck into a room where with six other people, men and women, in one room. And he didn't get to see a heart surgeon because the heart surgeon was too busy. It was the epitome of all the bad news you heard about with what could happen with the Obamacare. Literally happened to my brother-in-law this last week. He died. Not that he would have died anyway because he was very sick. But they paid a ton of money into the insurance company over the years. And all the things they were all promised they would get and paid to get, they didn't get because the healthcare system's broke there now. It's overstaffed, it's understaffed, and there's too many people into it, and they're not paying into it. So all the Dutch people that are in the 60s, 70s, 50s, 60s, and 70s who have paid a fortune in taxes for health care are not being treated like anybody else. And that could be what national health care could be to us if we don't get this thing under control and done rightly. And as I said before, Simon and Bill, this comes back from my wife's family. We heard about it. We were Skyping and talking about it. They were appalled. They're just absolutely appalled that this happened. the insurance companies and the government made so many excuses. Of people go, wait a minute, we paid to have a private room when we were sick. Well, it was not available. Then what are you taking my premium for every month? Why am I paying into something that's not going to be available for me? And I understand, my husband has, my sister-in-law said, and I understand that, but that's coming our way. And predicted that was a guy who I thought should have been on the committee to write a health care bill that would have been consumer-friendly, the guy by the name of Ralph Nader. And when Ralph Nader got up there and said this is nothing but a candy, it's a new playground for these health insurance companies and the politician friends, watch out, American consumer, looks like he was right.
Bill, I don't know what your health insurance situation is. Are you a fan or a hater of Obamacare?
I don't like Obamacare. I was at one point when I was having too many contract jobs and not being able to afford health insurance. It was a necessary evil, and so then I tried to sign up, and I had complete failure of being able to sign up on the website. One of the things I don't understand is that I don't know if the president was just stupid or what, but the common person would have looked at this and say, you know, when you're doing a project where you're going to have, you know, hopefully most everyone in the United States going out to a website, you don't just go to your B or C team to create a website. You go to people that are successful. The government is notorious for outsourcing this to sourcing so much to competent companies, and they say, oh, well, we're just not very good at websites. Well, you know what? If you've got that kind of exposure, I would have thought that they would have gone out to some of the best to do the website, and they didn't do that. And I just don't get that. If I was again, just even a manager or a director in a particular company, and I had to roll out something big just to, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40,000 people out there, I would still want to find somebody who could do it for the best. I'm confused, you know?
I'm with you. I mean, Sam, I worked with Manny a little while ago, months ago. I mean, all he wanted was something simple. Move my WordPress from point A to point B because I don't like the guy that's, you know, currently doing it. Sure, piece of cake. WordPress, no problem. I took over 2 weeks and, more hair pulling than you could imagine. Why didn't Obama put together a decent team to create this website monster?
No money in it for him? Look, my understanding, his wife's best friend owns the website was the website maker. I don't know if there's any truth to that. I've seen a lot of other people. I haven't had that side, but it doesn't surprise me. So they roll out this thing, and let's face it, obviously the president himself came out last week, said, I fumbled the ball, I shot an air ball, I struck out at the plate, whatever analogy he used. I fill up my lines, whatever you want to say, and they had to change it. They had to change it. They know. Now he admits it's a mess. not just the website, about the insurance company rubbed their hands in glee and said, let's throw all these assholes off that we don't want, and we'll get new assholes to replace them who'll be more expensive. And and that's what happened. And the American people are, we're a ping pong ball. We're getting batted back and forth from the insurance company to the government to the insurance companies. We're all scrambling because we all know health care is needed. It's needed, and you need to have it, and it's expensive as hell. And even if you stay healthy, it's still expensive, to do all that. I would love to eat organic, eat healthier food. I eat the best I possibly can. It's expensive. It's expensive to go get that stuff. Why is it? Why aren't those farms subsidized? If you want to go to McDonald's, God bless you, pay a $10 cover charge. And that money should go to healthcare or all those other places and go there. Because I see people who go to these buffets, and I can't call them people. They look like cattle on two legs. They graze. They don't eat. They graze. They're all overweight. They have handicap stickers. They don't get any exercise whatsoever. And I understand that genetics and they can't be helped. But at the same time, the majority of it isn't. It's not. Then where is the incentive? We put a huge tax on cigarettes. I understand that. Shouldn't the same thing go to stuff that's not good for you?
Things
that are good for you?
Sam, I have a good friend that said one part of Obamacare that has failed us trying to go to this national health care system, we should force that whoever's writing your health insurance should also should give you a free policy for life insurance. So now they have a little bit of incentive to try to keep you healthy. Put millions and millions of dollars worth of a life insurance associated with each person in America. So, they got a little motivation to help them keep you healthy.
You're absolutely right, Bill. He's right. There is no motivation by that. You should go. You join a gym. You can write that off your tax credit. You want to stay healthy. How about it for those people who live healthy lifestyles or lucky, and they don't have to spend any? Shouldn't they get a credit back? So if you don't reach your deductible, but you've had a healthy lifestyle that year, you've had a good year, but you spent all this money, maybe you get a credit for that. They're not going to the doctor so much or this or that. Reward people, as you said, who live healthy lifestyles, who choose to do that sort of thing, and punish those who don't. You'd be surprised. You put a $10 cover charge on these fast food restaurants, you'd be surprised how much things have changed. And people might change their eating habits around.
Oh, Lord. Could you imagine the lobbyists?
Oh, my God. Could you imagine now? Of course not. Because now you'd have organic food. Now you'd have, how dare you? McDonald's would go crazy. Filet. What about Def Lobster? That should be a $20 cover charge on Def Lobster. And all those sort of things. And we don't. And, because it all goes back to, as Bill pointed out, we talked about John F. Kennedy getting killed. About money. This is all about money. This Obamacare thing is all about. The insurance companies want you to be sick, don't they? Where do they make money if you're not healthy? If we're all healthy, that's not good for them, right? If we're fat and out of shape and eating GM and eating shit food and all that sort of stuff, we're not walking, we're not eating, that's bad for them. My favorite guys, and my wife and I don't watch that much television. I am amazed at the drugs I see being pushed on television. And luckily they have a disclaimer that it says, hey, warning, you take this Lipitor, it may turn you crazy, but it's okay. Whatever the side effects on these drugs that they're pushing on television, especially AMC, and I'm not talking Cialis and Viagra, we all know what that is, but the other stuff, for cholesterol, for all these other stuff, it's like, warning, don't take, because, you may run to your nearest elementary school and shoot it up. But,
if you feel the need to go kill young children, please call your doctor. But don't stop taking the drug before you do talk to your doctor.
Hey, who are the biggest drug dealers in the country, guys? Who are the biggest drug dealers in the country? The mother pharmaceutical companies.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on, everyone take a white pill for this, a blue pill. And I don't, look, a lot of people need to take some stuff. And I'm not just talking from, you know, mental illness or this or that. I have to take something. I was born deaf in my right ear. It's had an effect as I've gotten older. I was told by some eye ear doctors it would have an effect on my balance as I got older. And it does. And I have to take a very limited amount of Valium to help keep my internal gyroscope going. So I do that. My doctor said, when you hit about 50, it's going to start having an effect on your balance. You'll probably be using a cane, you know, when you hit 70, not because of something physical, because of, you know, your gyroscope is going to be screwed up, because your balance is screwed up because of your hearing loss. And so I went through a lot of stuff and finally found the right prescription. It works. It's inexpensive. It helps me immensely. So I have no problem with, you know, people getting the right medicine, you know, for what they need, you know. But now it's just like I tell you, watch television, you know.
I'm sorry. My favorite just a quick comment. My favorite is the antidepressant medicines that say caution may cause depression. So does that mean it's not working? Or it's making you worse. I don't get it.
It's amazing they can advertise it, isn't it? Amazing they can advertise it.
Yeah, and maybe it's just a placebo, and that's why you're still depressed. I'm sorry. You know?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe it'd be better to say it is recommended that if you take this medication, you should get rid of all of the firearms in your house.
Well, and you know they'll start putting they'll start making gun manufacturers put the arrow on the gun so you know which way you're supposed to point it, you know.
Oh, quite possibly. I mean, Sam, you have brought up a wonderful subject. You know, the TV ads. They are just out of control. Shouldn't the FDA do something about that?
Well, you would think so, huh? You would think so. I guess not, though.
Right.
Who are they being? Who owns them?
I don't have any control over the TV. My wife was watching a 1980s sitcom, and there was this great line, you know, fat guy about to screw his fat wife, reaches into the drawer and says, "Do you want to be ribbed or tickled?" I mean, you know, in retrospect, That was probably quite racy for the time, but you know, these days, you know, it's so much more different. You know, and the drug adverts drive me crazy. You know, here's an antidepressant. By the way, if you feel suicidal, you call someone.
If you're suicidal, then they're probably going to talk you out of it. So why would you want to call anyone?
Right. Sam has the wing business. Changing the subject.
wing business. I have, you'd be very proud of me, Sam. Actually, the prices of wings dropped incredibly over the last couple of weeks, but they just skyrocketed back up again. I have gone to a healthier wing and cheaper wing. I'm now serving boneless because it comes, it's healthier for, number one, it's healthier for my bank book because it's cheaper. But number two, they're healthier than the other wings. And I, it's just the pricing of these wings during football season, you know, it's ridiculous. They just jack them up and they got you over the barrel, and everyone's you know, fighting for the seven customers out there as it is. And it just got too expensive. So we still do 15-cent wings, but we do them boneless. And I happen to think it's, like I said, there's less, it's a better deal from my point of view as the businessman for many, many reasons. But also my salesman showed me, you know, the packaging and how it's done, and they are healthier for you. So that's a lot of people get pissed. Oh my God, they want, you know, they're so cheap nowadays. They just, you know, they're pissed off that they can't get the bone. They want that bone, but you want that bone, you're going to pay 75 cents a wing for it.
Oh, I'm not much of a wing guy, but I was out at the supermarket with my lovely wife, and she wanted wings. I looked at the price tag, and yeah, I about had a coronary. Yeah, this was stuff that, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, was a throwaway.
Yeah, right.
Right. Today it's like, top of the line stuff.
Oh, it's not just that. I'm fine. We have 17 saucers, and I'm considered a dinosaur. There are places that have, you know, unbelievable gourmet saucers for their wings and this and that. It's out of control. It's just out of control. And a lot of it is, you know, now the big thing that it's already been big, but it's in my neck of the woods just starting to this year. It actually started last year. Is the rise of the craft beers, breweries, the small craft beer breweries all over America are now going crazy in our neck of the woods. I don't know about in Jersey or Missouri, but in Ohio, you can serve up a beer can now be up to 10% alcohol in it. So these craft breweries are just kicking the crap out of Budweiser and Miller and Superior and Miller and Coors and all those, because those are at, you know, 4% alcohol, 3.5% alcohol. So these craft breweries come into Ohio, and that's what they sell it on. They go, you're going to, you know, there's a 9%. I can imagine that. So that's like 2 16-ounce pints. That's like almost five shots of, two glasses of beer, and you've done almost six shots of liquor and having two beers. Okay, so here's the funny thing, guys. This is why I'm not going to renew my lease and get out of this business in the next year, because I also know the federal government has a bill in the hopper to reduce blood alcohol by 2.05, which is about one drink per person. Yet, this is how screwed up government is. The state of Ohio is allowing the alcohol content to go up, but they're also going to lower the blood alcohol level that you're legally drunk so they can make more arrests. Well, what it's going to do is just drive people out of business, because there's no way. Who would want to risk, you know, the $15,000 OVI charge, that's all operating vehicle impaired, to go and have two beers, you'll drink in your home. But that's how crazy government is. We're going to let the beer makers pump up as much alcohol content as they can, but you can only have one.
Yeah. It's completely nuts.
You said it.
Me, I personally believe bars should be allowed to do whatever they want to do. It's not the bar that is forcing the person to drink it. Yeah, you, Sam, you don't go outside with a gun. you know, round up people.
No, but the same token, Simon, you bring up a very great point. I mean, the no smoking thing, which was a way for the government to stop people from smoking, so they banned it in bars and public places. Well, I didn't go to, if I went out for dinner somewhere, I never sat, I don't smoke. I didn't sit in a, I didn't go to a bar where they, or a restaurant where they allowed smoking. I would ruin my meal. If other people that can handle it, I couldn't. So if what it should be, as you said, is if you want to smoke cigarettes and the bars out there that are going to allow it, go for it. Some bars won't allow it because you know, people don't want to be in secondhand smoke. Some do. And in a way, to be honest with you, if they ever let smoking in bars happen, and I'm still in the bar business, which I doubt I will be, I would not allow it because I think it's a healthier environment. The clothes don't stink like cigarettes. Everyone says the same thing. You know, they just go out to the porch and they smoke a cigarette. But I think, like you said, I mean, it should be your choice. If someone wants to own a institution where people can go in and smoke cigarettes and talk, and you don't smoke cigarettes, you don't have to go into that place, do you?
Right.
No one told them a gun, you have to make you go into a place where there's people smoking.
Yeah, I honestly believe that, you know, this should be personal choice. I got a million stories on it, but you know, if I want to run a bar and allow smoking, I should be able to do that. If I want to run a bar and not allow smoking, I should be able to do that. But no, most states are now saying, yeah, well, you can't do anything without our permission. Yeah, and smoking, beer, alcohol content, even, you know, the fact of what beers and wines you can sell are regulated. And we're not talking booze here. I mean, yeah, it's ugly. And since when did anyone, tell me, what I can and can't do? Sam. Mm.
Well, you're right. No, I agree with you. It's but that's what's happening. I think we live in a society where many people want the government to tell them what to do. I don't know why, but I think more people. The three of us are basically civil libertarians. You know, we don't go around stepping on other people's toes. We don't go looking to make trouble. We respect our. We want people to respect our space, and we'll respect their space. And we don't want the government telling us spying on us. We don't want the government telling us what you can and cannot do with a reason. I mean, personally, I mean, I look at it this way: do I think wearing a seatbelt is a helpful thing? Yes, I do. But I don't like the government fining me if I don't have the people that don't have the seatbelts on. You don't want to wear your seatbelt? That's your business. The government should not be telling you to. That you should. Common sense should tell you that you should. But what does the government make out of that? Money. Because, you know, it's grown so big, so fast, and so intrusive, it has to continue to pass laws like this to keep growing. And until someone takes a meat cleaver to it. And the American people don't seem to do that. And you have a huge, you know, I am amazed at the amount of people who I meet who love having the government tell them what to do. They do. They just, you know, like, you know, they, and I think those are the, for lack of a better term, the social engineering types. They don't smoke. They think smoking is bad. So instead of leaving it up to the individual to decide, and these are the type of idiots who would go to a bar that allows smoking, hate smoking so much that they're against it. They want the government to regulate it, but be so stupid to go into a location that has it instead of opposed to going somewhere else. You're the same idiots who can't change, who go, I hate Rush Limbaugh. They're going to do something about him. Yeah, turn him off. Don't listen to him. You know what I mean? But they can't. There's so many people like that out there, and they're from a specific wing of a certain political party. And the other thing is on the right-hand side. You know, my favorite thing about right-wingers, they hate big government, hate it to death. Okay, well, the Supreme Court rules, and also law and order people. Supreme Court rules that it's a woman, abortion is legal, it's up to a woman, it's a woman's right to choose, okay? Right to choose, whatever. What do they want? They want, in that case, they want the government to say it's against the law to have it. But they all hate the government, unless it's about abortion. Then they want the government, you know, then they want the government to tell women they can't have babies, or they have to make babies, or whatever it is. I can't think about it. So it's amazing to me that the hypocrisy of these the social engineers, whether it's the stop the smoking or the pro, you know, the pro life, it's just amazing. What do they all have in common? They want government to tell them what, or to stop other people from doing things. Yes, they'll give up the civil liberties for it.
Bill,
that's crazy.
I don't know if you smoke or if you drink. It's pretty much irrelevant. But you've got to admit that Sam is making a really, really good point. It's up to individual choice.
That's right. We've allowed the government to regulate the benign. The unimportant has we let them tell us what to do, and we let them run our lives on things that are benign. If you know, if somebody wants to smoke, or you want to have a smoking restaurant or bar, that should be part of your genre. Every year I used to go to an island in the middle of Lake Erie. And it was a great family bar. We don't believe in family bars too much, but when you would go in and buy a beer, they would give your child a free thing, a free dish of ice cream. What a wonderful thing to bring the whole family to the bar. There was darts, there was billiards. It was a great place to hang out for in the summer. Now, you know, we're trying to regulate and turn it into something that says this is just a bad place, and so we have to control it. And it's like, that's crazy, you know? I can't imagine being a bartender or running a bar right now, because they're telling you so much that you have to do when it's up to the individual. If you don't want to have a certain kind of clientele, you structure your the whole bar a certain way, and they're not going to come there. You know, it just doesn't make sense. There's no common sense anymore, and we've let the government tell us what to do.
I doubt that security is a big issue at Bill's place. I think that's the name of your establishment. But this must bother you. And, you know, quite honestly, if you do get out of the business, I will understand why.
One of the stupid idiots in Columbus, that's our state capital, allowed guns to be brought into bars. That goes real well. I lost business because I am obsessed. I don't allow guns on the premises, and you're allowed, you have to post, no guns allowed. People are allowed to bring guns in the bar. So I warn people, and I have people who won't come into my bar because they think I'm warning people because it's a dangerous place to go. I'm trying to warn people to sit so it's a safe place to come. Follow what I'm saying? But I'm viewed as a dangerous bar because I warn people, and I keep telling, wait until there's a shooting. There's been a couple of shootings at bars already in the state. Wait till the one happens that you're not going to want to be at. So they're not wanting people. And that's pathetic. I have to do that. But that's the way things are, you know, because, and what happened with that? I did some research. The chain restaurants, the TGIF Fridays, the BW3s, the Ruby Tuesdays, the Applebee's, They were the ones behind allowing guns into the... They lobbied... They bought the politicians... Let's not use the word lobby. They bought the politicians to pass this bill because they were getting complaints from their customers who wanted to bring their guns into the bar. And they weren't going to drink. They were going to just eat. And they didn't want to... They didn't feel comfortable not having... the guns with them at Ruby Tuesdays or Applebee's or whatnot. That was behind the whole bill. And I'm thinking to myself, how much I bet you they spent more buying the politicians than they've actually had in increased sales by allowing people to bring guns in the bars. But, you know, that's what happened. And it's gotten – well, like I said, I'm going to get out of the business because the government is going to force me to get out of the business in its name of taking care of safe roads by dropping the blood and alcohol level down to 0.05. That's going to do it for me.
Okay.
Yeah, because you can't really drink at home and then get in your car, can you?
No, you know what it might do, though? My wife said people just might start to like their neighbors again and have parties at their homes. They may actually start having dinner parties. We walked last night. It was a beautiful fall night here. A friend of ours is about 3 blocks away. We walked to their house. We bought a bottle of wine. We had a nice little dinner. Drank some wine. Walked home. You know, maybe dinner parties are going to make a comeback. You know, because you told me it would be crazy. Because the cops will be everywhere, stopping because so much money in a form. Not just for them, the lawyers, the court system. The Dayton Daily News, one of the last investigative newspapers in the state of Ohio, they actually are reporters, not repeaters, did a study about how much money the state's made since they dropped the blood alcohol level from 0.1 to 0.8 in Ohio, as all the states did. And it's like $1 billion. It was enough money for every police subdivision, not county, but the subdivisions and the state highway patrol to all get state-of-the-art brand new cars and SUVs. Okay? How much money it's brought in?
A big question. If I invited you and your wife over for dinner, you knock on the door, I open the door, and I politely ask that you do not bring any firearms into my house. I'm fine. Yep.
You have that right? Right.
But you, as a restaurant owner, are being told, oh, no, you can't do that.
Right. No, I'm allowed to do that. I have to put proper signs up and warn people. But I don't trust people. Hey, what a surprise. Because I am scared to death that some idiot, I've seen enough people in my 12 years of owning bars, pick fist fights, get pissed off if they've seen their ex-wife or ex-husband or whatever with another person there, and start fist fights. I've seen enough of it. What to prevent that person from taking a knife or a gun? Nothing. Not in today's world. I'm considered, you know, this one guy was lecturing me about, you know, yeah, your bar is dangerous. You won. And the same guy was the one to tell me that we need every school should have something in it, a gunfight or a wired up walk in the hallway. I'm thinking to myself, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to prevent it. You know, everyone who walks to a school and, you know, should be warned. My wife's a court reporter. Every time she goes into a building, she goes to a metal detector. But I'm perceived as, because no other bar does it, and like around her, I said, guess what? When that shooting takes place in that bar, bye-bye. I'm not going to be held liable for it. If I serve Bill Conrad and Simon come to do the show next week, and you guys get crashed at my bar, and you guys get into a car wreck, and you trace back to Bill's place, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'll tell you what
I want to go there for the 15-cent wings. That's really what I want to go for.
It's great Monday. My wife and I had some we were craving. We had garlic parmesan today. They were fabulous.
Okay, need to wrap this up. We're basically out of time. I'm going to start with you, Bill. What are your parting thoughts for us this week?
Well, it's something that my father said a long time ago. He said that, Bill, there's about 17% of people on the planet Earth have common sense. And on a really good year, 18%. And here we are.
Yep. And Sam,
I want to thank you for the opportunity to vent and talk and talk conspiracy. I love talking Kennedy conspiracy and stuff because I believe in it. Talk about wings, everything. I mean, we're all in agreement that we, all the three of us, all civil libertarians and believe that we don't want government telling us what to do, and we know it's not working, and we hope that we can make it work someday. And the Browns stink. And we'll get Thanksgiving, and I have some family members coming starting next week. I'm very excited about it. And I hope all of you in the listening audience dropping on Thursday. Okay.
Perfect. Okay. This is Simon Barrett. I do have to wrap this up. I want to thank the pair of you. It's been a fun discussion. Let's do it again next Sunday. Till then, goodbye.